Here we go. Okay, we are recording. Good afternoon, everyone. Today's shiur, today's bite of Torah is, let's see, Marjorie, you'll tell me if this is correct, is sponsored by Alan and Dr. Marjorie Brown in memory of Alan's mother, Peseldina Bas Avram Eliyahu Phyllis Brown, Alah Shalom, on the occasion of her yahrzeit. I hope I got that correct. And the series as a whole is sponsored by Jake and Karen Abelevitz, Le'ilui Nishmas, Jake's parents, Eliyahu ben Abba and Leah Bas Avraham. And in the merit of our learning together, indeed the Neshama should have a great Aliyah.
Okay. Amen.
Amen. Right. Folks, this week is Parshas Yisro, and the title of the shiur is What's So Great About Yisro? And I want to answer that question by starting with a read of the beginning of the parsha. So if you can open up your chumashim, we are at chapter 18, pasuk aleph, the very beginning of the sedra. I'll share my screen with you. Let's try that. There we go. Okay. So, the parsha opens with Yisro, Vayishma Yisro Chosein, Kohen Midyan Chosein Moshe, Eis Kol Asher Asa Elohim LeMoshe, Ul Yisrael Amo. Yisro heard, he was the king, the Kohen of Midyan, he heard everything that Hashem had done for Moshe, for the Jewish people, taking the Jewish people out of Mitzrayim. The Mefarshim explain the battle of Amalek. So, you know, he heard all these amazing things. Vayikach Yisro Chosein Moshe Tzipar Eshes Moshe Achar Shilucheha. So Yisro, Moshe's father-in-law, takes Tzipora and their two sons. And he approaches Moshe in the camp. Vayavo Yisro Chosein Moshe. And he arrives El Amidbar into the wilderness where the Jewish people are encamped. Vayomer El Moshe. And he says, "Ani chosencha Yisro ba'elecha v'ishtecha shnei vaneha ima." I am coming here. I'm presenting myself to you, Moshe. Vayetze Moshe l'kras chosno. Moshe goes out to greet him. Vayisaper Moshe l'chosno. Kol asher asa Hashem l'par l'mitzrayim. And Moshe told him everything that in great detail that Hashem had done for to Paro and to Mitzrayim for Bnei Yisrael. Vayichad Yisrael kol hatova, and Yisrael rejoiced over the kindness. Vayomer Yisrael, Baruch Hashem, asher yitzil eschem, and Yisrael says, Baruch Hashem, blessed is Hashem, who saved the Jewish people from Mitzrayim, from Paro, etc. Now, they're talking back and forth, and let's skip now to Pasuk 13. Vayihimi macharas, and it was the next day, Vayeshev Moshe Lishpotes Ha'am, that Moshe was judging the people. He was sitting in his position as chief justice. Vaya'amod Ha'am al Moshe, and the people were standing before him, min haboker ad ha'erev, from morning until evening. Vayarcho Sein Moshe is called Asher Hu Osel Ha'am, and Yisro sees all that Moshe is doing for the people. Vayomer, and he says, Mahadavar hazeh asher ata osel ha'am. Well, what's all this going on? Madu ata yoshev levadecha v'chol ha'am nitzav alecha min ha'bokar ad ha'arev. Why are you sitting alone and the whole people are coming to you for, judicial assistance? Vayomer Moshe l'chosno, and Moshe says, Ki avo elai ha'am l'drosh elokim. They're coming because, you know, they're trying to seek inquire of God's word. They come to me, and I decide the cases. And Yisro responds, "Lo tov hadavar asher ata oseh. This is not good. Naval tibal gam ata gam ha'am. You will surely wear yourself out, and these people as well. For the task is the burden is too heavy." And therefore, Atashma Bekoli, Iatzchavi Elohim Imach, listen to me, God will be with you. And I'm going to tell you how to organize this in a better way. So he advises him how to set up the court system. And Moshe, indeed, as the Pasuk says, skipping down here, Pasuk 24, Vayishma Moshe lekol chosno. Moshe listens, he adheres to the wisdom, to the wise sage advice of his father-in-law, Vayas kol asher amar. And he does exactly, all that Yisro had suggested to him. So I want to go back here to where this starts with Yisro's advice to Moshe. Vayar chosen Moshe is kol asher osel olim. Yisro, Moshe's father-in-law, saw all that was going on. And he says, and he exclaims, what's happening here? And Moshe responds, and then he gives and Yisro says, this is not good, and back and forth. And my essential question here is, why does the Torah bother to tell us this whole dialogue between Yisro and Moshe? This preamble, which gets us to Yisro giving him advice, is certainly nice information, but why is it necessary? Why is it necessary for the Torah to tell us? And I'm going to further the question, to deepen the question, because let's read the pasuk again. Vayar chosein Moshe. Moshe's father-in-law sees as kol asher hu oseh la'am. How does that translate? As kol asher hu oseh la'am. What does that mean? Anybody?
What doing to the people?
Yeah, it says that Moshe, he sees what Moshe is doing to the people, not for the people. What? How does Sfarya translate it here? But when Moses' father saw how much he had to do for the people, he exclaimed, "What's this thing that you're doing to the people?" But but it reads here, "Vayarchosen es kol asher hu osel la'am," everything that he's doing to the people, and he says, "Mahadavar es asher atosel la'am." What are you doing to the people? What do you mean? What are you doing to the people? Moshe is offering him sage advice. He is offering them the divine will in disputes between individuals that they have to be resolved in a way which reflects Ritzon Hashem. What do you mean, what are you doing to the people? Right? That's like saying to a surgeon who's about to do surgery on a person who is sick, and say, what are you doing? Are you taking this knife to the person? What do you mean, what are you doing? He's helping the patient. So what does it mean? What are you doing to the people? Moshe's helping the people. So
I have an answer, if I may.
Go ahead.
I believe in Avos, it goes into it in depth, and it says that you need to have three Dayanim, and which we follow today. And the reason why we need three Dayanim is because one cannot manage it himself. And his opinion cannot be the only one, and it's good to hear the opinions of others. And what happens with Moshe is he had so many people coming all the time that I don't know. I mean, I'm not saying that he didn't get the right answer all the time, but in the future, this is what we decided, that we should have the three Dayanim, like Yisro said, a whole way to do it, but we need to have more than one. Because it does wear you down, and because you do need to hear what others say too before you, there's a major opinion.
Okay, so you're suggesting that what Moshe is doing to the people is providing them bad justice, okay, or imperfect justice.
But I said that if we today have three, it means that we are following the process of having more than one.
I understand. I understand. Yeah. So the way you understand, Vayar Chosein Moshe has kol asher hu osel la'am, Vayomer ma'adavar asher atasel la'am, the thing that Moshe is doing to the people is that he is giving them, bad, less than you know, less than optimal justice system. Okay?
All right. I was thinking that Yisro is thinking what he's doing to the people is that he's tiring himself out, right, which could cost his opinion, not his opinion, but his, which could cause his judgment to not be good for the people.
Okay, again.
Eventually, you know?
Yeah, so again, you are reinforcing the same idea that Esther said, that what Moshe is doing, quote unquote, to the people is that he's, you know, he's wearing himself out and therefore not giving them good, you know, the best judgment possible. Okay. Anybody else?
Well, yeah.
One at a time. Go ahead.
I read this from Jonathan Sachs. He said that the problem with Moshe being the judge is that he saw so clearly in 5 seconds who was right and who was wrong and what the judgment would be, that it didn't allow for a mediation or a compromise. And people would just get strict justice, and some people would go away getting less than what they wanted, even though it was strict justice. But if he had these judges that didn't have Moshe's clarity of vision, they wouldn't know the answer immediately, and they would mediate and come to a solution that was more agreeable, even though it wasn't strict justice. So what Moshe was doing to the people was applying strict justice, which maybe wasn't the best thing to do to them.
Okay.
That's what Jonathan Sachs said.
Okay. I don't think I hear that. It's an answer. I think to the extent that is, I'm not sure how that flows out of these psukim, but, you know, given the context of what we, perhaps what Chazal say about Moshe, that's certainly an answer. I'm looking to try to, I'm looking if possible to try to find an answer to this question that inheres from the pshat of the psukim, or close to the pshat.
I have another one.
Go ahead, Judy.
I think that it's about the people having to have active involvement in their own governance. If you're starting a new nation, for him to just be telling them what to do, they'll always be passive and never be actively involved.
Okay. So, Mahadavar Hazeh Asher Taseh Lo'am, what are you doing to the people? Madua Ata Yoshev Levadecha, why are you doing it yourself? In other words, bring in other people, so that way there is ownership of the nation. Okay, beautiful. I think that's a very nice idea. Somebody else wanted to say something?
Yeah, I wanted to say, just strictly from the pshat, from the words here.
Yep.
He was saying, Moshe, why are you sitting? And the people are standing, meaning they were standing all day online waiting to get to Moshe.
Okay. All right. So Barbara picks up on a very important point. If we just read the text of the Pasuk, it says, what are you doing to the people? Madua ata yoshev levadecha? Why are you sitting by yourself? And that's what Judy and Esther and Marjorie perhaps were focusing on. Maybe Rabbi Sachs was focusing on. Why are you doing it levadecha? But what Barbara is pointing to is the end of that sentence. It's not about levadecha, or I should say, it's not about levadecha, but it's about the two verbs, yoshev versus nitzav. Why are you sitting and the whole people are standing? And Rashi actually, apparently, having had nevuah to what Barbara was going to say all these centuries later, Rashi says, hold on, it's not actually on this pasuk, it's the pasuk afterwards.
What pasuk?
I'll tell you in a second.
Vayesha Moshe Vayamodam, that one. Yud Gimel.
No, it's not on that pasuk. It's not in the pasuk. Hold on.
Which was
one second. Let me find in my let me just look in my chumash here. It'll be easier for me to find it than on. One second. One second. Sorry, folks.
V'shavtu et ha'am b'chol eight?
Yeah, it's Vayeshev Moshe Vayamod ha'am. Oh, so that is. So why didn't I see it over here in Sepharia?
Yeah, I see, because my Rashi is big. Maybe that's what.
All right, let's go back to Sepharia over here, 13.
It's on the bottom.
Ah, there we go. Okay. There we go. Okay. Thank you very much, Esther. Okay, so Vayeshev Moshe, take a look at Rashi on Pasuk 13, and I have it for you on the screen now. Vayeshev Moshe Vayamod Ha'am. Yoshev Kemelech V'chulan Omdim. Moshe is sitting like a monarch, like a king, and everyone is standing. V'huksha Hadavar LiYisro. And Yisro was bothered by this. Shehaya Mezalzel B'chvodan Shel Yisrael. That he was denigrating the honor, the dignity of the people. V'hochicho al kach, and he rebuked Moshe. Shenemar, madu ayata yoshev levadecha v'chulam nimtzaim. And therefore, he rebuked him, saying, "Why are you sitting and every and they're all standing?" Okay, so apparently, Rashi is saying that Yisro was giving rebuke to Moshe. He's giving rebuke to Moshe. Now, this furthers our question. Why does the Torah include this preamble into Yisro? The whole purpose here is Yisro is giving advice. So do we need to know that Yisro was giving Moshe rebuke? Just say, you know, Bayar Chosein Moshe. Moshe, that Yisro saw, you know, sized up the situation. You saw here, let's go back a pasuk. Vayeshev Moshe l'shpotes ha'am. Moshe sat to judge the people. Vayar Chosein Moshe. Yisro saw it, and he gives them the advice. Why do we have this whole rebuke here? Okay. Now Rashi continues, and he says, Efshar Lomar Kane, can you say this? Ela kol dayan shedan din emes lamito afilo shah achas ma'ale alav akasov kilu osek batorah. Kol hayom ukiilu nasa shutof lakadosh baruch hu. So Rashi says, you know, is it possible that we're standing all day? Rashi's not saying, is it possible that Moshe shouldn't be rebuked? You know, he's saying, is it literally possible? 24 hours? Okay, so he gives an explanation of this phraseology, min haboker ad erev. But the essential rebuke of Yisro to Moshe, why does the Torah bother to tell us this? And now let's read the dialogue. Okay, so now he gives him this rebuke. Vayomer Moshe l'chosno. Moshe says to his father-in-law, "What do you mean? Yavo elai ha'am l'drosh elokim ki elam davar ba'i elai v'shafatiti ben ishu v'en re'ehu." They're coming to seek out, inquire of Hashem, and when they have a dispute, I decide the dispute. And that could be, the simple answer is, that this is how, you know, a judge sits before the litigants. The litigants stand, and the people sit. That's a perfectly legitimate response, right? A guy walks into a courtroom, and he sees the judge sitting, the litigants are standing, and he says, "Judge, how dare you sit in the presence of these litigants?" That's how a courtroom operates, and there is reasoning behind that. It's not just a matter of protocol, especially in a Jewish court system where the judge is representing Dvar Hashem. So he should sit. It's reasonable. So he says, "Ki Vayomer Chosein Moshe Lav." And so he says, "Okay, I hear you. Lo tov hadavar asher ata oseh. It's still a problem. I got another problem here. Novel tibol gam ata gam amazeh asher imach ki chaved mimcha hadavar lo suchal asa levadacha. I got another problem. Forget the issue of, sitting and standing, but just feasibility, this is just not going to work. It's one person is doing too much. And so he says, listen, I have some advice for you. This is what you should do. And Vayishma Moshe lekol chosno. Okay. So I don't quite understand the need for this dialogue back and forth, especially if we understand it, it's starting off as a rebuke. It's a rebuke. Why are you sitting there standing? Moshe gives an answer. Yisro says, okay, I got another problem for you. So even the second part, even perhaps the Torah wants to tell us why Yisro gave him this this advice to begin with, because he saw that it was too great, and Moshe, like any great leader, sometimes great leaders tend to chew off more than they can swallow, or something like that.
Bite more than they can chew.
Yeah, bite more than they can chew. There you go.
So even if you
can defend this part of the dialogue here, you still go back to the whole part of the rebuke and the reproof. Everybody has to know that Yisro is giving tochacha to Moshe, and in fact, Moshe defends it. So, why is it there at all?
That's the
essential question that I want to address. And before I go on, I'll take any comments. Yeah.
Yeah. I just wanted to say maybe it was to show the respect that Moshe had for you.
To show the respect that Moshe had for Yisro.
Yes.
Well, meaning?
Meaning like it was what you said in the beginning of the title of the shiur, to show that Yisro had, what's the word I'm thinking of? Merits.
Okay. Well, again, that could happen without the rebuke part. If it just said that he gave Moshe this advice and Moshe listened to the advice, we would still get to the conclusion that Yisro was a person of renown. We don't need to know that Yisro rebuked Moshe.
Isn't it learned from here that you have to honor your in-laws? And maybe this was just showing how much you have to do it despite being rebuked.
Okay, that's an interesting idea. Yeah, go ahead, Elise.
Rabbi.
Yes, my question is, why did Moshe, Alav HaShalom, gave to Yisro? I mean, externally, Yisro's advice was good, externally. But I don't understand, because in Deuteronomy, it says that Moshe regretted doing this, and the Jewish people regretted doing this, because he lost intimacy between himself and the Jewish people by delegating.
Yeah, but at the end of the day, this is accepted, and this is accepted actually as a basis for the judicial system. So, however you're going to deal with that with that particular question, at the end of the day, this is accepted, and this is accepted as a basis for all of history. Okay, so I want to answer this question actually by going back in time, going back to the beginning of Sefer Bereishis. So let's go back to the beginning of Sefer Bereishis, and Bereishis bara Elokim es haShamayim es haAretz. Hashem creates the heavens and the earth. And God creates light. And behold, there is light. And God sees that the light is good. And he separates the light from the darkness. And he calls the light day, and the darkness he calls night. Okay. Question on this pasuk. Hashem created light. And then it says, Vayar Elohim es ha'or ki tov, God saw that the light was good. Like, what does that mean? It's like, is Hashem having an aha moment? He created light. He's like, wow, that really is good. Vayar Elohim es ha'or ki tov. It doesn't make sense. Hashem clearly knows what he was about to create. Hashem knows the value of what he was going to create before, during, and after he created it. It seems to be somewhat redundant.
I think it was too good. It was the Or HaGanuz, and it was the light he wanted to save for the Zedekim.
And why do you think that to be true?
I thought it was too good.
Why do you think that to be true?
Because he knew sin would come into the world.
Because what?
He knew sin would come into the world.
Okay. Now, but why do you think that that is true? Where did you get this idea that there was an Or HaGanuz that he hid away?
Because he...
the answer to that question is because you were taught a Medrash. And the Medrash gives that answer because the Medrash is struggling with this problem in the Pasuk. So the Medrash has a problem with the pshat. Vayar Elohim es ha'or ki tov. God sees that the light is good. What do you mean God sees that the light is good? Of course God knows that it's good. This is not an aha moment. And therefore, the Medrash, giving a midrashic approach to the answer, says, well, it must mean that Hashem wanted to, Hashem did not feel that the light was appropriate for the sinners in the world, and therefore he put it away. But and that's a fine answer from a medrash. But I'm not picking on you, Elise. But I'm saying when you say that this is what he was thinking, that's what the medrash tells us, which is a good answer. But it doesn't remove the question entirely, or I should say, it's addressing a problem. So you have to acknowledge there's a problem in the Pasuk before you address it. And so that's how the Medrash addresses it. But let's take a look at what Rashi says. Rashi, who is a great Pashtun, looks at the simple read of the Pasuk, says the following. He says, Af bazeh anu tzrichim ledivrei agada. This is such a problematic pasuk that we need a midrashic answer to it. Ra'ahu she'enu kedai lishtamish bo rishayim. This is what Elise said, that the midrash tells us that Hashem saw that it was not appropriate for sinners to bathe in this light. V'hivdilo latzadikim la'asid lavo. And therefore, the second part of the pasuk, that God separated the light from the darkness, He put it away for the end of times, for the tzadikim.
Okay, so, after Adam sinned, though.
What?
Wasn't it done after Adam sinned?
Okay, whenever it was done, it was done. The point of the matter is that Hashem, the Torah is telling us that there is a certain light, a spiritual light, a physical light, whatever it is, that was there at the moment of creation that was put aside. And that is a beautiful homiletic, midrashic answer to a problem of the pshat and the pasuk. And Rashi goes straight to that midrashic answer, which is strange, because usually if there's a pshat, Rashi will give you the pshat and the saying, and there's a medrash as well. But here, Rashi seems to reverse it. He first gives you the Medrash, and now he says, Ulefi Pshuto. You want to know the simple read of the Pasuk? Kach Per Shehu. This is how I would explain it. Ra'uhu Kitov, God saw that it was good. Ve'ein na'a lo v'lachoshech she'yuhu mishtam shembir buvya. And it was not proper or nice or good for light and darkness to be all mixed up with one another. The kavala zet chuma bayom lazet chuma balayla, and therefore God assigned light day and He assigned darkness the period of night. So Rashi is saying the pshat of the pasuk is vayar Elokim es ha'or ki tov, God saw that the light was good, and therefore it was not good to have light and darkness all mixed up together, and so He separated them. And that's the pshat of the pasuk. So what is Rashi telling us in the pshat of the pasuk that is not there already in, when we just read it and translated it? Why is Rashi telling you what is evident just by reading the words? And so therefore, I would like to suggest that the fact that Rashi says that this is the pshat of the pasuk, I think what he's saying is he's pointing to the first word in the pasuk, Vayar Elohim Kitov. God saw that it was good. This is not an aha moment. Oh wow, I didn't realize it was good, and now I realize it's good. No, Ra'ahu Kitov means that after he created it, God reflected on the fact. God reflected on the fact that it was good. And now there are consequences to that. But what the Torah is telling us here in the immediate in the opening line of the Torah is God is telling us an important midah, a quality, a character trait for basic human living, and certainly to meet the expectations of what it means to be a Jew, a person who's living divine will, and that is that the notion of reflection, to reflect on that which is good. Not simply to experience it, or even to know it, but to reflect upon it. And God is modeling for us here the notion of reflection. And when God reflects upon it, then Vayavdel Elokim Bein Ha'or Ovein HaChoshech, he says, okay, the light and the darkness are all mixed up together, and therefore he split them apart, and there's night and there is day. Right? And I think that is a very, very important point, not just in terms of the hermeneutics of the exegesis, I should say, of explaining the pasuk, but it's also an important mussar, it's an important ethical teaching that Hashem is putting forward here. Now, the Ramban does not like this approach of Rashi, because at the end of the day, the Ramban says that it still is mean, it puts God in this chronological experience of having a first idea and a second idea. Let's take a look at the Ramban. The Ramban says, "Af bazanu," he quotes Rashi, And Ibn Ezra says something slightly different but similar, and he says, "I don't like either Rashi's approach or the Ibn Ezra's approach." He says, "Sheim kein yira ke'inyan hamlacha ve'etza chadasha." If Rashi's approach, the simple read, is true, that God created and then he saw something and he made a decision, it sounds like there was that God reversed his decision. And God had a first view and a second view, if not a reversal. And so the Ramban doesn't like that approach. To say, Shiyomar ki acharei shamar Elokim yihi or, that after God said yihi or, ro'o, so he then saw it, that it was good. V'lachein hivdil beino vein achoshach. Right? So even if you want to take Tokayer's approach to Rashi, that Rashi is telling us about the importance of reflection, and it doesn't mean that God, had this chronological, journey of thinking one thing and then thinking another thing. But at the end of the day, the Ramban believes when Rashi says pshuto, the pshat of the pasuk is that he thought this and then he thought that. He takes Rashi on his word. Doesn't take the Tokayer's approach to Rashi, which is about the importance of reflection. And so therefore, Ramban gives another answer. And he says, but he says the following, Haseder b'maisa b'reishis, there was an order in the creation of the world. Not an order of how God of God's experience of the creation, but there was an order of creation. And it goes as follows. Ki hotzas hadvarim el apoel yikra amira, when it says, Vayomer Hashem yihi or vayomer yihi rakia, or vayomer Totze Eretz Desha, or, you know, animals are created, or, you know, the constellations. Whenever it says Vayomer in the 6 days of creation, Vayomer Yehi Rakia, Vayomer Tatshe Eretz, that is the act of creation. It's a moment where something came from nothing. Vikiyumam, however, maintaining that creation, continuing the creation, making sure that it is something that is permanent for, you know, for eternity, or for as long as God wants the world to exist, Yikra Re'ia. That's called Re'ia. Vayomer Hashem is God created. Vayar, and God saw, that is God establishing the foundations and putting this into existence for the long run. And he brings a whole bunch of psukim here that he attempts to demonstrate that this is what Vayar means. V'kasher b'chol maaseh yom yom. And then, just like every day creation, he says, Vayar Elokim kitov. Every day he says, Vayar Elokim kitov. God saw that it was good. That act of re'iyah, of seeing, that is, God didn't just create the world and leave and let it run on its own. No. God created the world, and then Vayar, he saw it. In other words, he continues to maintain the creation. If God were to remove his sight, as it were, his consciousness, if you can call it that, from creation, it would all fall apart. That's Vayomer versus Vayar. So when it says Vayar Elokim es ha'or kitov, when God saw that it was good, Vayavdel Elokim, it means that he maintained the creation. Kiyum adavar. And on the sixth day, when it was all said and done, Vayar Elokim es kol asher asa v'hinei tov ma'od. God saw everything that he did, and behold, it was good. Vayar Elokim ki tov sheratza b'kiyumo la'ad. God wanted this to exist forever, forevermore. And that is the meaning of Vayar. And each day, Vayar Elokim ki tov hayachozer al brias hashamayim ma'aret. Every day that he would say this, he was maintaining the creation. V'lo gazar bahen adayin hakiyum ki lo amdu kacha aval min hachomer hanivra barisho nase basheni rakia uvashlishi nifridu, etc., etc. V'yaz gazar bahem hakiyum v'amar vayar Elokim ki tov. So God created in his moment of creation, but then God maintained. Okay, so here is how the Ramban deals with a pshat. But from this pshat comes, I think, a very deep and profound lesson. And that is, again, God is sort of modeling for humanity how to live. And that is, we have points of inspiration, and then what happens after the moment of inspiration? So, you know, a person can, we'll take a religious example here. There's only one day a year that we have Yom Kippur. One day a year. Why not every day Yom Kippur? And I don't mean fasting. Why don't we make every day, why doesn't God have in the Torah every day is Yom Kippur? Because every day can't be Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur has to be a moment of inspiration that, that changes us, that transforms us. But then, you know, you go to your day-to-day living in which that moment of inspiration is then played out. So moments of inspiration are good, but you can't be in a moment of inspiration at all times. It's just not the human condition. But you also need the maintenance afterwards. In other words, if you just have maintenance without inspiration, you're probably going to end up getting bored and falling asleep, right? You know, it's just you need inspiration. Inspiration is what is what enables a person, you know, to grow, to develop. But it's these two things hand in hand. So Vayomer Elokim, God says that's the moment of inspiration. But the Torah is telling us it's not just good enough to have a moment of inspiration. You need the vayar, the re'iyah. You need that that perseverance afterwards, the maintenance afterwards to make it real, to make it profound, to make it deep, to make it to give it lasting power, right? You know, maybe you remember when you were in college, maybe you stayed up all night before an exam, to study. Okay, you could do that one night. You can't stay up every night. 365 days a year, because that's just not the human condition. Okay, so that's how the Ramban That's how the Ramban takes it. And these are two very, I think, very, very important ideas. Whether it's Rashi, the importance of reflection, right? If a person lives a life without reflection, then they are less capable of living a life of meaning and purpose. If a person lives a life without reflection, then they can also, you know, fall into great pitfalls. And the Ramban, you can't have a life of inspiration without maintenance, and you can't have maintenance without inspiration. However, there is a third approach to dealing with this problem of the pasuk. Ayar Elokim asa'or ki tov. I don't have it in front of you, but it's based. Actually, you know what? I do. This is based in something that the Ksav v'Kabbalah says right here. Okay, Ksav v'Kabbalah says the following. Vayar Elokim ki tov. All right. So before I show that to you, do me a favor and please remind me. What does it mean? Translate for me. Vayar Elokim ki tov. God saw that it. How do you translate that? Vayar Elokim ki tov. Anybody, somebody.
Hashem saw that it was good.
Hashem saw that it was good. Okay, what does the word ki mean? What does the word ki mean? Hashem saw...
Because. Ki means because.
It means because, okay? So here we have Vayar Elokim ki tov. God saw because?
Right, that's the question.
That.
Okay, so ki can mean that, I guess. But ki can certainly mean, and it's in many instances, because. And this is what the Ksav Kabbalah says. So let's read the Ksav Kabbalah. If you want to understand this, the resolution to the problem in this pasuk, in my opinion, the answer comes from what the Ksav Kabbalah says. Mitzad midas tovo hagedola asa lahotzi es haneedar el hametzios. What does it mean, Vayar Elokim es ha'or ki tov? God saw because it was good, or because he was good. Vayar Elokim es ha'or ki tov. God saw the light because he was good. Now, the Ksav Kabbalah says, in other words, God saw the light because he was good, he therefore created. In other words, and you can say that each and every day. V'chein amar b'chol yomi ma'ase bereishis. Vayar Elokim ki tov. God saw that grass was good. Or on the last day of creation, Vayar Elokim es kol ha'shar asa v'hine tov ma'od. Right? God saw that it was all good. Not that he saw that it was all good. God saw all of these things. God saw all of these things because he was good, and that's why he brought this all out into fruition. It's a testament to Hashem's goodness, to the goodness of the divine. That's how you have to read it. Now I'm going to take it in a slightly different direction than the Ksav Kabbalah, but I would suggest, therefore, Vayar Elokim es ha'or ki tov, and on every other day of creation, God saw because he was good. It means the act of seeing is what is important here. Vayar Elokim ki tov. God saw X, Y, Z because he was good. It is the act of noticing and not being indifferent, which is what is the character trait of God, of Hashem, that is being reflected here. And that's what's important. And that's what is profound. You know, a person who goes through life, who is indifferent to others, who is indifferent to the needs, the sensitivity, who's indifferent to the blessings in his life, who's indifferent to the good that they experience, who's indifferent to their own essential greatness, a person who's indifferent, who doesn't take notice of these things, so they're not living a divinely inspired life. Hashem knew exactly what he created, Vayomer Elokim Yehi Or. But what the Torah is telling us is that Vayar Elokim es ha'or ki tov, that God showed us, he's modeling for us, Amida, the importance of being mindful and taking notice. And this, by the way, helps to explain something later in Bereishis as well, which is God created a helpmate, an Ezer Kenegdo, of Chava for Adam. Why? Because Lo Tov Heyos Adam Levado. It's not good for a person to be alone. Adam was the only human being in all of the universe. And that's not good. Because good means the ability to be able to notice another, to be able to be sensitive to another, to be able to be aware and mindful of the needs of the suffering, of the pain, of the of another being. And being the only human being in the universe, Adam did not have that ability, and therefore it was by definition lo tov, not good. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is saying here, the Torah is saying here, the definition of good is the ability to see another. And not just the ability, but making use of that ability. Right? Okay. If that is all true, I want to take us then back to Yisro. But before we go back to Yisro, Esther, I'll take your comment.
Yeah, the question is that Hashem saw it's not good, right? So then the question is, why didn't Hashem create Chava to begin with? You know, because Hashem would see that in the beginning as well. So maybe it's for Adam to appreciate it, I guess, because he was alone for the moment, right?
Right. So that's exactly
similar to what Moshe's what the Moshe thing is about. Because he did try it this way, and someone else pointed out, no, maybe it's not a great idea. And then he had to rethink about it and admit that maybe it wasn't a great idea.
Okay.
The same thing like Chava, maybe.
Okay. So let's go back to Yisro now. Let's go back to Yisro. And let's see. Okay. So let's read the psukim now. Now with this idea in play, let's read the pasuk. Pasuk 13. Vayim imacharas vayeshev Moshe lishpotas ha'am. Moshe sat to judge the people. Vayamod ha'am al Moshe, and the people stood all day and all night. Vayar chosein Moshe. This is the key. This is, in my view, this is the key. Yisro saw Eskol Asher Hu Oseh La'am. He noticed what the consequences of this were for the people. And he says, what are you doing to the people? You're sitting and they're standing and they have to stand all day. It's not kavod to the people. It's not proper respect for them. Or they're going to be tired. Why are you sitting and everybody is standing from morning, from morning to evening? So Moshe responds and he says, "Listen, I have an explanation. This is a Beis Din. This is a court. This is how it works. Okay." And Moshe's father-in-law Yisro says to him, "Lo tov hadavar hazeh. This is not good." Even if you have a justification for it, and maybe it's fully well justified, it's not good. Because the people are suffering. This is the greatness of Yisro. Vayar Yisro. Yisro took notice. Vayar Yisro. Just like Hashem. Vayar Kitov. God saw that it was good. It's not just enough to know. It's not just enough. It is vayar kitov, that God saw because he was good. It's Hashem's goodness which enables Hashem to, as it were, to be able to see the pain of others, the suffering of others, the indignity of others, to be able to notice what others may need. And Yisro rebukes Moshe. And he says to him, this is, you know, this is not right. This is not right. The people, I feel for the people. Okay, so Moshe gives him a good teretz. He says, okay, listen, this is how courts operate. And Yisro responds and he says, yeah, that is how courts may operate, but it's still not good. Lo tov hadavar ataosa. This is not a good thing. We have to find a workaround. We have to find a different way to accomplish this goal. So we're going to have 3 judges or 23 judges, and we're going to have different sets, and we're going to have for the thousands and the 10,000s, and we're going to have, you know, upper courts and lower. We're going to make a whole system. And this, I believe, is the greatness of Yisro. This is why because Yisro has the capability to notice. He has that divine quality of Vayar Kitov, to see because he was good. And this is why when the whole world heard about what happened to Moshe and the Jewish people, Yitzias Mitzrayim, Amalek, everybody else was indifferent. But Yisro was not. It had an impact on Yisro. Because Yisro, you know, hears, but Yisro also sees. He has the ability to notice. Like I explained Rashi, to reflect. Or like Viksav Kabbalah, because he had an innate goodness like Hashem. And this is maybe also explains why Yisro wanted to throw his lot in with the Jewish people. Vayar Kitov. Because just like Hashem was good and thus has the ability to notice, Yisro was able to see that this is essential quality of what it means to be an Eved Hashem, to be part of the Ritzon Hashem, the divine community. It means to be able to be mindful of others, to see others, not just to be able to see myself, to see outside myself. And so you could say, okay, that's all nice and good, but we have to know that at the expense of Moshe, the Moshe that Yisro is giving rebuke to Moshe Rabbeinu. What do I need this whole preamble for? What do I need it for? Just tell us, Vayar Chosein Moshe, that Yisro, you know, sized up the situation, and he gave advice. But no. There's something very powerful here that the Torah is telling us, which is, I believe, that even if something is right and justifiable, you still have to ask, is it good? And Yisro is saying to Moshe, I got it. I got it. You explained yourself well. Moshe says, when a person has a dispute, they come to me and I decide between them. And I tell them what God's word is, what the halacha is, who's right and who's wrong. And Yisro says to him, good. Or that's fine. I got it. But still, it's lo tov. It's still not good. This is the beauty of Yisro. And this is a lesson that is worth incorporating in the Torah, apparently, even a little bit at the expense of Moshe. Because maybe what the Torah is saying here is that Moshe didn't see something that Yisro did. That Moshe didn't see, maybe he didn't have enough of the sensitivity as Yisro did. Moshe was saying, okay, this is the law, this is what it is. And we go back to where Esther Pollock started off at the beginning, or somebody said about, or maybe Marjorie said, about, you know, strict, you know, Moshe was looking at it like from a strict legal perspective. I'm not going exactly in that direction, but I'm saying that Moshe said, listen, this is how it is in a courtroom. That's how it is. And Yisro said, good, fine, but it's still lo tov. So what is the greatness of Yisro? I think the greatness of Yisro is Vayar, that he had the ability to see. That he had the ability to feel the pain of another. That he had the ability to understand, be sensitive, and then act upon it. And that is why he gets such top billing in the Torah. It's why our legal system is really based upon the foundation of his advice. Because his advice is not just about what is legal or not legal, what is justifiable or not justifiable, but it's about bringing compassion as well, to bring sensitivity to the feelings, to the needs of others. That's what what Yisro saw, and that is perhaps what we have to see in Yisro. Okay?
Rabbi.
Yeah.
Rabbi, may I ask a question?
Go ahead.
First, thank you very much for your novel insights. I want